Hi, this is Joe Feeks, editor of Pig Health Today, and with me is Dr. Will Lopez. He is a research assistant at Iowa State University. Will, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for the invitation. It's an honor.
PERS is on everybody's mind in this industry. You've been taking a close look at diagnosing for PERS, but specifically, you and your colleagues have looked at tissues, the tissues that are taken during tail docking and castration. Can you tell me more about your research?
Well, yeah, it's what we call the processing fluids. We decided to come with that name because it's a processing time when, as you said before, like tail docking and castration.
Why the focus so on tissues?
Well, you know, I need to say, like, this idea may have been explored in the past because of what I heard, but it didn't take off or took off because they were trying only to test tails and stuff. Only tails, they were not taking the testicles, I guess, right? To try to rule out the factor that they were testing or the fluids or the resultant sample will come mostly from male pigs. But it didn't work. I was a farm manager, I always saw, the castration and tail docking process, everybody was throwing anything on the floor or maybe putting on buckets to then later dispose of these tissues. And I started to think, like, well, what we see here is kind of a serosanguineous fluid. It's a leakage. It's some juice, let's say. Actually, some people used to call it tail juice or something like that. Mm-hmm. And even the placentas, all this material that comes out of when the farrowing process ends. And I started to think, for sure we can find PERS here. We can find something in there that we should try to test. And if we accumulate everything, just thinking about the same concept of the oral fluids where you put a rope and a lot of pigs come to it and chew it. So why not could be the same in this case? We're getting tissues from a big amount of pigs, big population, and so it's another kind of aggregate sample. Of course, when I was working as a farm manager, my boss will not allow me to start playing with samples and spending a lot of money in sampling crazy stuff. But when I came to Iowa State, I kind of comment that same idea to one of my colleagues in Soeris, actually Dr. Jose Angulo, and when it's like we did click at the same time because he had the same idea. He was already kind of exploring that same idea with other people. They had already something set up, like starting to test, and they asked me, okay, if you like the idea, you believe in it, okay, come, let's work together. And yeah, I went to the farms that where they were working. I just made some modifications to the way they were collecting the fluids because they were trying to collect only the tails again. Mm-hmm. And they were not filtering. The sample was a little more dirty. They were just putting everything in plastic bags. I added some filtering factor, let's say, with some cheesecloth, yes, just to get a fluid, a very, very clean fluid that will be easier in the laboratory for testing. And then we started to have really amazing results.
So tell me about the amazing results. I mean, what can you tell from sampling tissues that you can't get from, you know, the rope test that you mentioned or some other more conventional testing procedures?
Well, the thing is, at that age, the piglets, it's very hard to make a piglet to chew in a rope at 3-4 days of age. And even at 20, 21 days of age, when they are due to wean, it's still hard to make them chew the rope. In the case of the processing fluids, the tissues, let's say, it's easy because it's some process that takes place every day in a routine basis in every farm. Everybody mm-hmm. castrates and tail docks, and that is just a waste of tissue. So why not to make it easier for the farm producers, swine producers, and instead of sending veterinarians and high-skilled personnel who has to bleed pigs, and they may only bleed a few dozens of pigs in a long period of time, why not to use all this tissue that is just, it's going to be taken out of the piglet anyway, no matter what, because it needs to be done, and use that fluid. It's kind of, I think, because of the background that I have from the production side, working as a production manager and trying to optimize the use of the time from the personnel, I saw an opportunity there. Like, yeah, we may save time and money, time and money, and that will be interesting for the industry, I guess.
Why is it so important to be able to test pigs at such an early age for PERS?
Well, There are different applications because according to the ASB criteria, the shedding status for PERS is determined by the due to wean piglets. We are not testing at weaning. In this case, we're testing at processing time or 3 to 5 days of age. Why it is important? Because that what happens when you are attempting to eliminate PERS weekly, you will start having pigs that are being born positive. And at some point, those pigs will start to be born negative. And the challenge there is usually when controlling PERS and the prevalence goes down, those pigs that are being born negative, you should remain negative till weaning. And this is when you start having those results at weaning and you just say, okay, the farm now is stable. That's the criteria. Now our farm is stable for PERS because we don't have due to wean piglets shedding the virus. But that's why it's important to test also processing age, because that will determine when to start testing at weaning. Once you start having consistent negative results at an early age, you can move forward and start testing at weaning. So anyway, what we wanted to do is be more accurate and try to catch the virus at a very, very low prevalence. For example, a quick example, the usual timeline that we use for PERS is people start testing at the 13th or 14th week and due to wean piglets because they assume that the prevalence is already low enough. But we follow 30 hertz and that we're attempting to eliminate the PERS virus from their system. And we started to have consecutive negative results at processing time only after 26 weeks. What means that we have been missing that very low or near zero prevalence of the virus. The virus was still circulating down there, but we just didn't see it. We just ignored that it was there, or we assumed that the virus was gone. And what is what you usually say, or see, sorry, farms that already eliminated the disease or think that they are stable, let's say, for the PERS virus, often has re-breaks with the same strain of the virus that was detected before or prior to the implementation of the control or elimination program. So we need to test more pigs more frequently in order to really increase our probability of detection of the virus at near zero prevalence. And then processing fluid. In processing fluid, we see this is the method that we can use to increase that sample size and the frequency because it's more economic and you get a lot more piglets in just one sample.
So what's the game plan, though, for something like this? Do you do it by litter or by farrowing site? What would be a good sampling?
Well, we're still exploring many alternatives. We are actually testing by liters, by days, even by room. But what we have seen so far is the highest sensitivity is when you do it by the whole day of collection. We use as a unit of testing 1 day of processing. We have even explored pooling all days of a week. We collected processing fluids every day of a week, and then we make a pool of all the days, and we just did one PCR. And the results have been amazing, really.
Excellent. So is this something that I know that you've been looking at in research, but is this something that farms can do with their veterinarians today?
Actually, we have we know of some systems, production systems, that already adopted this new processing fluids technique for sampling as their methods for screening at birth or at, let's say, at processing or at birth. It's very useful for farms that are supposed to be negative, you know, let's say, yeah, naive farms, for monitoring, constantly monitoring. You can have a plan and a scheme of surveillance with this kind of sample because it's supposed to be negative. And you are sampling hundreds of pigs instead of sampling only 30 or 60 or 90.
And that's really the goal of it, this is really a surveillance test or a monitoring test.
Exactly.
To make sure that your program is working.
The idea is that to improve our monitoring and surveillance systems, because once you cannot manage what you cannot measure. If you don't measure something, you cannot manage it. So we need to measure disease prevalence in order to manage it better, to make better informed decisions, let's say, because according to this diagnostic testing, we take management decisions that cost a lot of money, like introducing gills to a herd that was supposed to be negative, but it wasn't negative. You can have those re-breaks that I mentioned before, or moving pigs around, cross-fostering, management. And at the end, that has consequences.
And in what situations would this not be a good approach?
But it has its limitation. For example, we will not know if we collect, the way we collect it, we don't know how many piglets are positive out of the sample. We are working actually in determining the probability of detection and you know, doing a best guess using some statistical approach. That's a limitation. We will never really know for sure how many pigs are positive in a sample. So we will have just an idea of the prevalence down there, but not for sure unless we bleed every single pig.
Well, it makes a lot of sense, and I'm glad it's working so well for you, and it sounds like a valuable tool for the industry.
Well, the Iowa State, the Veterinary Diagnostic Laboratory, we have been working very closely to them, with them. They are helping us. We are fine-tuning serological assays, PCR assays, all molecular assays, in order to understand better all this, what I was talking about, the interpretation of those results and have a better answer for everybody.
We've been talking to Dr. Will Lopez. He is a research assistant at Iowa State University. Again, Will, congratulations on the great research, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, and thanks again for the invitation.